Praise the Lord. Amen. Radio. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made, and I am rejoicing and being glad in it. Welcome to Woman with Pastor Rebecca. Amen. I welcome you here today. We're going to be talking about relationships today. And I made one mistake. I made a mistake today and actually came in here and also came on Blog Talk Radio on the same computer. I'm actually on the same computer on two platforms, and I know that somehow we're going to have to rectify that. But we're just going to go ahead and get started. Today I want to talk about relationship issues. We're still talking about making marriage and relationships work, and today I really want to just begin to deal with relationship issues and why we go through some of the things that we go through in our relationships. The phone lines will be open. There's an open chair for anyone who wants to come in and actually take a seat. Amen. Amen. Last week we talked about resolving conflict in our relationships and what are some of the things that we can do in order to resolve the conflict that we may encounter in our relationships. And today I want to continue with dealing with conflict, but also dealing with some of the issues that create that conflict in a relationship. You know, a lot of the times we have, we're in relationships and our relationships fail because of the conflict and because of lack of communication that we have within those relationships. So today I'm going to be dealing with the underlying issues. What are some of the issues that we have, that you and I have, that may create issues, that may create problems in our relationships? My husband and I wrote the book 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. April will be 2 years that we wrote the book, Making Marriage and Relationships Work. And the reason that we wrote the book is because we spent a lot of time on Blog Talk Radio and different platforms, TalkShoe, and doing a podcast on our personal website. Even before social media became as widely known or as popular as it is today, we were doing blogs and we were doing podcasts and we were doing audio broadcasts talking about relationships. And on our 10-year anniversary, we decided that we were going to write a book. It took us almost nine more years to write the book, but we finally did get the book written, and we wrote Making Marriage and Relationships Work. We'll be going in about 2 weeks, we'll be going to North Carolina. We'll be in Gaston, North Carolina, doing a Relationship Empowerment Summit. So we will be preaching. I'll be preaching on that Friday night, and then on that Saturday morning, my husband and I will be coming together, and we will be doing a workshop for marriage. And there will be another facilitator there that will be dealing with singles in their relationships. Last year, I preached last year on a Friday night, and we taught on that Saturday, and it was off the hook. I mean, it was bananas. The Lord moved mightily. He moved mightily throughout that particular summit. So much so that before we left, they invited us to come back this year. So we do this. We do a lot of teaching for relationship. We do relationship classes at our church because we find that the divorce rate in the church is almost as high, if not higher at this point. I haven't looked at the research lately, but the divorce rate in the church is as high as that of the divorce rate in the world. And that's not giving God honor. When we find ourselves in divorce court as Christians, we're not bringing honor to God. So what we want to do is to eliminate divorce. We want to annihilate divorce and let us get to a point in our relationships, in our marriages, where we are having healthy, happy, joy-filled relationships. So today I want to talk about some of the issues that prevent us, and I want you to feel free to jump into a seat. The seat is open. The chat is open. What is the divorce rate? Kate, God bless you. I haven't checked the divorce rate lately, but I will go and check on that. But I know it's pretty high. The last time it was almost 50% in the church, and that was almost matching that of what's in the world. So when we don't do marriage God's way, we will find ourselves in divorce court. When we don't live our lives as Christians according to God's will and God's word, we will find that what we aspire to do won't work. So it's not just for marriage, but it's for every single area of our lives. We need to be giving God glory in every single area of our lives. You can have a victory in every single area of your life. I'm on a 90-day weight loss transformation process with some people on Periscope because my BMI says I'm obese. My BMI is 32, and if you're over 30, if your body mass index is over 30, then you are technically, you are obese. And again, that's not bringing God glory because we're supposed to glorify God in our bodies. Our bodies are the temple of God, and that could be a problem in your relationship. That could be a problem in your marriage when he, especially for women, I'm going to talk to women, when he married you, if you were a size 6, and now you're a size 16, that can be a problem because he's not, you're not giving him the woman that he married. Now, if you've had some babies and you just had a baby, that's one thing. But if you've gained the weight as a result of overeating, as a result of gluttony, and gluttony is a sin. Nobody wants to talk about gluttony being a sin. We talk about fornication. We talk about different sins, but nobody wants to talk about the fact that overloading your body with food is a sin because you are abusing your body. You're abusing the body that God inhabits. So we want to make sure that we are not sinning by with our eating. We're supposed to eat to live and not live to eat. Amen. So when we give our spouses somebody other than who they marry, I have a cousin who got married, and when he married his wife, she was maybe a 10, maybe a size 10. And then she gradually begins to pack on the pounds. They didn't have any children. But after they got married, she started gaining weight. And about 2 years into their marriage, she was a size 18 to 20. And he literally said to her, he said, I didn't know I was marrying, you know, I didn't know, I should really talk to your father because I didn't know that I was marrying a overweight woman. You know, basically, she had lost the weight for a certain amount of time, but she was really technically not a thin woman. And she began to gain the weight back because of her eating habits and because of her lack of exercise. If we continue to overeat and not exercise, we will gain weight. And that's an issue. That's an issue. Being overweight is an issue that can contribute to problems in your marriage and problems in your relationship. It can lead to undesirability in the bedroom. Your husband may not want to make love to you if you gain weight. Now, again, if it's because of children, then he should be sympathetic. He should understand. Look, I just had a baby. Back up off of me, dude. I just had a baby, you know. Give me some time to begin to get my diet back together. Not go on a diet, but get my diet back together. Give me some time to begin to work out again. Give me some time to finish breastfeeding our child. Then I will get myself back together again. Amen. But you should first and foremost want to be in good health for you. So give them a few weeks to pull it back in. No, give them a couple of some months. Give them as much, give your that person as much time as they need. See, when you're married, you should have unconditional love. We should have agape love, amen. We should have unconditional love, amen, which means that I love you anyhow. Listen, if you marry a person based on looks only, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. You cannot get married based on the way a person looks. Yes, you should be attracted to that person. But don't get married because they have a tight body or because they have a pretty face. Because looks fade. you should really be getting married because of that, who that person is on the inside, and because you have prayed and asked God, and God has given you the okay. God has shown you that this person is your wife or that person is your husband. Amen. But do not marry a person, and we're talking about issues in relationships, but don't marry a person just based on the superficiality of their looks. Don't marry a man, woman of God. Do not marry a man just because he looks good. Don't marry a man just because he makes a six-figure income or close to a six-figure income. Don't marry that man just because he got a body that he's built, amen, that he got a bad body, amen, and bad meaning good, because he has a really nice body, amen. Don't marry him because he makes your toes curl. And that's another thing, because if you're having sex already, you know, you are setting yourself up, because you will make decisions based on your emotions. You will make decisions based on the endorphins that are released when you have the orgasm, when you're having sex with that man who's not your husband. So you may marry him because the sex is good. But see, something can happen where there won't be any sex. And then what do you have? You won't have a leg to stand on. You won't have anything. That's why the Bible says that we have to build our houses on the foundation of the Word. Amen. We have to build on the foundation of the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Nobody but an idiot marries someone because the sex is good. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that person being an idiot. Amen. It may be an unwise decision, but that person is not to be classified as an idiot. You know, we make foolish, smart people make foolish decisions all the time. And let me say that again. Smart people make foolish decisions all of the time. Amen. So it's not a matter of that person being stupid or an idiot. It's just that they made a stupid choice, a stupid decision. They made a decision. I just did a periscope. Don't allow your emotions to control your life. Don't allow your emotions to control your life. Yes, God bless you and welcome everybody, and thank you for joining. Amen. Do not allow your emotions to control your life. And emotions is also my feelings, the way I feel about this person, because they make me feel good in the bedroom, because they make me feel good. Amen. You have to also look at other things. Are you equally yoked? Are you walking together spiritually? The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? If he's an unbeliever and you're a believer, you're going to have some problems. Because if you're not basing your life upon the same morals and values and standards, then it's not going to be so easy to agree. I'm not saying it's going to be impossible, because I've seen marriages work between believers and unbelievers, but it won't be so easy for you to agree. Amen. So I'm going to look at some of the side things. Yes, building you sex outside of marriage is bad. Is wrong. According to our Bible, we are not to fornicate. Amen. Fornication is sex outside of marriage, no matter how good it feels. That's why I tell people, clink, clink for Jesus. I tell women to clink, clink for Jesus. Amen. Lock it down. No ringy, no dingy. Amen. Don't be out there having sex with every Tom, Dick, and Rabu. Amen. When you sleep with people, you may not get a sexually transmitted disease, but I said it last week, you might get a spiritually transmitted disease. Amen. We have someone here, Lively Debate says, I am an unbeliever, and my wife is a believer, and we have no problems along those lines. And that's what I was saying. It's not impossible for a believer and an unbeliever to get along and to be married, but it's easier, and according to God's word, we are to be married to believers. Amen. We are to enter into covenant with believers. So, but it can happen that unbelievers and believers can be married and they can be happy. So it's the same way believers can be married and have problems. Problems happen in marriage. Amen. And it says, Cats Nico says, only if your religion says it's bad. Let me just say this. I am a Christian pastor. I'm a Christian pastor. This is Woman to Woman with Pastor Rebecca. I'm talking about making marriage and relationships work, and I am speaking. A lot of those things that I will say will be biblical. So unbelievers are welcome. You are welcome, and we are not looking down or judging you because you are an unbeliever. Amen. But a lot of the things that I am saying will have biblical foundation. We'll have a biblical foundation. Amen. According to my belief system. Yes, spiritually transmitted disease. Spiritually, yes, not a sexually transmitted disease, but a spiritually. I said, when you lay down with somebody, you may not get a sexually transmitted disease, but you could get a spiritually transmitted disease, which means that if you lay down with somebody with the wrong spirit, if they have a bad spirit, then that can be transferred over into you, amen, and you can be connected now and yoked up with somebody who is not good for you, amen. You may end up with somebody who's abusive, amen. They may have an abusive spirit. And because you have tied yourself to them sexually, you have also tied yourself to them spiritually. Back in the Bible, there was no justice of the peace. There was no a preacher who stood over you and pronounced you as man or wife. A man took a woman into his tent, and he had sex with her. He made love to her, and she became his wife. That was how a man wifed a woman. That was how a man married a woman back then. So when you sleep with somebody, you are, according to the biblical, the old biblical guidelines, you are marrying that person in the spirit realm. Amen. So you have to be careful. And so many single women, we're sleeping with men who are not our God-ordained husband. Or you, because I've been there. I've slept with men before I got married who were not my husband. I was looking for love in all the wrong places, and I woke up looking in some wrong faces, men who were not my husband. And I woke up, and I got out of that bed with some issues. I got out of that bed with some low self-esteem. I got out of that bed feeling inadequate, feeling ugly, feeling dirty, amen. So it had to get to a point where my spirit was diseased, amen. Not necessarily that I picked something up from them, but because of that I picked up something in my spirit from sleeping with people who were not my husband, amen. So I woke up with a spiritual malfunction, amen, spiritual malady, spiritual disease, amen. So we have to be careful because God does not want us waking up feeling dirty after we slept with somebody that we shouldn't have slept with. He does not want us to wake up feeling ugly, amen. He does not want us to, that did it for the unbelievers, amen. Well, praise God, because I will praise God with everything in me, amen. I know who I belong to, and I tell you, this is what I stand on. I stand on the word of God, amen, hallelujah. So when you I can't back up. You can't back up from what you believe. That's another thing. Women of God, men of God, when people come to you and they say, I'm not a believer, but I still want to get with you, you got to think quite twice. You know, I've had Muslim men come to Christian women. I've had Christian women come to me. My daughter's in the faith. Come to me and tell me that a man who was a Muslim, wanted to take them out. And I said, be careful. You don't want to go out with him because you're unequally yoked. And look, I'm not telling you not to be unequally yoked. God is telling you not to be unequally yoked. God in his word has told us to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And thank you, Building You, for holding it down with me. Thank you for holding it down with me. Amen. God has told us not to be unequally, and God bless you and welcome. God has said, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, when we make a choice to go into a relationship with a Muslim or an atheist, amen, then we are really treading on ice, thin ice. You are walking on thin ice. I've had Christian women, my daughters in the faith, they were lonely because we get lonely. Women, we get lonely, amen. I'm not telling you nothing I don't know. I've been there. I have been there, and I've done that, amen. Got some T-shirts, and I'm not going back. But I've had women come to me and say, I'm dating this guy, and he's not a believer. He doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He's a Muslim. And I said, baby, you don't want to go out with him? You don't want to go out with him because he's not going to honor your God. He's not going to honor your faith. He's not going to encourage you in your Christian faith. So she said, well, you know, he said, it's not a problem that I'm a Christian. And she continued to go out with this man. And about 2 months into the relationship, she came back to me saying the brother told her to burn her Bible, that her Bible was garbage, and that he should burn her Bible. The devil is a liar. Come on, somebody. And that he was encouraging her not to go to church, but to begin to come to the masjid. Now, listen. Listen, a brother will tell you anything he wants to you, anything that you want to hear until he gets you. And once he gets you, then he will begin to try to control you. My God, if that brother's not right, and if he's not, if Jesus is not Lord, then you might have a problem. If Jesus is not Lord in his life, if he's not honoring your God, if he's not bowing down before your God, if he's not humbling himself before your God, if you can't trust him to submit to God, my God, how are you going to trust him with your heart? When I got into my marriage, I'm getting ready to go off on a tangent. When I got into my marriage, I had all kinds of trust issues. I had self-esteem issues. I had been broken, busted, and disgusted. I had been married to a man who was on the down low. And if he wasn't on the down low, he liked gay porn. I found gay porn in our closet, and he denies to this day being gay, but he still likes gay porn, and it's almost 20 years later since I divorced him, and that was my first husband. And I was married, and I met this new man in the bar, and he took me to church. He was a baby Christian, and we began to grow in the faith, and he proposed to me, and we got married, and I had all kinds of trust issues. But God spoke to me, and God said to me, you can trust him. You can trust, daughter, that I'm not going to put any more on you than you can handle. He is my son. That man loved Jesus. That man evangelized me in the bar. That man invited me to church in the bar, y'all. He invited me to church in the bar. And I knew that he loved Jesus and that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I knew that that man loved God and that he feared God. And that was enough for me to say, if he loved God like this, if he loved God enough to invite me to church, then I'm going to trust God not to allow him to hurt me more than I can handle it. So a large part of our relationship issues is what you saw taking place in this blab today. Women getting yoked up with unbelievers. Men telling you that sex is okay. Women thinking that sex outside of marriage is okay. Listen. Sex is good. Sex feels good. It's not bad. God made sex to feel good. Thanks for the props, Building Faith. God made your body to enjoy sex. He made you to enjoy sex. That's why Song of Solomon says, don't awaken love before it's ready. Do not awaken love before it's ready. I tell women, don't let that man put his hands on your breast. Don't allow him to touch your private parts. Elvis, keep that pelvis far from me. You know, keep it away. Don't find yourself in a dark car with him. Don't find yourself in his apartment with him. Don't find yourself having Bible study, just you and him in your apartment. apartment. Come on, because temptation is a temptation is something. It's hard to resist temptation. You haven't had sex in a while, and he's looking good. He's looking like Denzel. I heard it's Denzel Washington's 61st birthday, and I told my husband, I said, Denzel's looking good for 61. He looks good for 61. If I hadn't married my husband, and if Denzel wasn't already married, Denzel would be my husband. Come on, somebody. If he hadn't already married Paulette, I'd be married to Denzel. I'd be in California letting Denzel find me. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. I put myself in a position where Denzel could find me. Come on, single ladies. And let me talk to the single ladies. That brother wants to take you out. He's single. He's single. And he comes to you and he says, can I take you for a cup of coffee? And don't you dare say, oh, the Lord ain't showed me that I'm supposed to have coffee with you. I'm waiting on my husband. You better go out and have a cup of coffee, especially if the brother is saved. Come on, saved, working. Come on, he's saved and working. Got his own house. Come on, got his own place. He ain't living with mama no more. Come on, go and have a cup of coffee. How are you going to know? I'm going to be like Naomi. I'm talking to you, Ruth. Come on. I'm talking to you, Ruth. How are you going to know if he's your husband or not if you won't go and have a cup of coffee in broad daylight? I'm talking about coffee. He didn't invite you to go home to meet mama. He didn't invite you to go to his apartment and get in his bed. He said, can I have a cup of coffee with you? But you're looking at him, and because he's got a little bald spot on his top, and he's not tall, dark, and handsome, but he might be the same height as you, and he might be a little bow-legged, so that cut down a couple of inches on his height, and he might have a little belly, you know, it might not be what you ask God for, it might not be with the man of your dreams that you've been dreaming about, but go and have some coffee. He might not look like what you need him to look like in the natural realm, but he might be a giant in the spiritual realm. Come on, somebody. Don't judge a book by its cover. God might be sending your husband under a different package. See, we ask God for a man, and then we give God this whole list. God, I want him to be tall, and I want him to work in corporate America. Amen. The man God showed me was okay. Building Faith said the man God showed her was okay. Amen. We stop looking at the physicality. Stop basing your life on external stuff. When I looked at my husband, I looked at the night I met him in the bar, I counted him out, Building Faith. I said, oh no, he ain't the one. He was a square. You hear me? The way he was dressed, the way he looked, the way he said his characteristics, his mannerism. Even though he was a pretty good-looking guy, the way he carried himself said, good boy. And I wasn't looking for a good boy. Come on. Why do good girls like bad boys? Come on. I was looking for the man who was going to make my heart flutter. And I already had one of those. I already had a man who wouldn't commit to me. I already had a so-called bad boy. I already had a man who I had to worry about him being with other women. My God, I never saw my man. I was in a 2-year relationship with this man, 2.5 years. When I met my husband, I had a man. I said I had a man. I wasn't saved, but I was in a 2.5-year relationship with a man who told me he couldn't commit to me, that there will always be women friends in his life. I have found the condom in his bedroom when he was supposed to be out of town. He lied to me and told me he lent his townhouse to his friend, and it wasn't his condom. I found love letters from other women in his office when I was snooping through his stuff because I couldn't trust him. A woman, I showed up on his doorstep with another woman at the same time. Amen. I was just a booty call. Come on, somebody. 2.5-year booty call. That man wasn't going to marry me. He said, I'm going to marry you and take you to Africa, and you'll help me pick out my second wife. Come on. And I still stayed with him. How dumb can we be? See, I wasn't an idiot, but I was making some idiotic decisions. I'm a very intelligent woman. I've been to graduated high school. I've been to college. I was in college when I was dating this guy. Amen. But I was making some stupid choices. And we have to get to the point where we are not making those stupid choices. You lost a decade of your life. A decade. And I would say, all is not lost. Let's say that was training ground. Let's just say that you were teaching what you were being taught by God and by your experience what not to do. That your past has been your teacher. See, our past has been our best teacher because our past has taught us what not to do. Amen. So I want to encourage you. I don't know how long I've been on here. Amen. But I want to encourage you. Do not allow yourself to continue to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. We say, God, I'm going to say this. Let me see what time it is. I've been on here about 31 minutes. Amen. And Blog Talk Radio, I want to check in with you to see if you have any, if I have anybody that wants to be on the air. I have two platforms running on the same computer. I don't know how I did that. Thank you for the props. Amen. But let me tell you something. We tell God what to give us. We want to be blessed. Bless me, Lord. Bless me. Oh, Lord, bless me. But God, you got to bless me like this. You got to bless me. We tell God, we ask God for a husband, but then we tell God how we want him to come packaged. Let him be tall, God. I want him to be tall, dark, and handsome. I want him to work on Wall Street, or at least in corporate America. I want him to have a six-figure income. Let him drive a BMW or a Jag. You know, I want him, God, to have this tight physique. I don't want him to have any fat on his body. I want him to be an Ivy Leaguer. Let him be a graduate from an Ivy League school. Lord, I want him to live in a mansion. Oh, God. Lord, let him have a 401k and let him have $100,000 in his 401k and let him be brown skin. I don't want him to be dark skin, and I don't want him to be light skin, God. I want him to be 6'4". No, nothing under 6'4", Lord. And God's like, oh, no. You go ahead. You don't want me to pick him. You don't want me to send you the man that has everything that you need on the inside of him. You want me to give you a package. You don't want a man. You want your own creation. You want to build a man. You want to build a man. This ain't build a bear. This ain't build a bear. You know, you want to build your own man, but you got to let God send you the man that he has already handpicked for you. Don't be crazy and give God this laundry list. Allow God to create the man that he and bring that man to you. And let God, let that man find you. Amen. And while you're waiting for the man to find you, go ahead and deal with your issues. Amen. Because so often while we're waiting for when the man finds us, when he finds us, by the time he gets to us, we're all messed up and we push him away. Oh, my God. We push the perfect man away while we're running after the man that's no good for us. I know I got a witness because I did that for so many years. I pushed the man that was right for me away, and I kept running after the man that was no good for me. I ran after the man that I thought I wanted while I was pushing away that God sent me. I was pushing away the man that God sent me, and we have to stop doing that. We have to stop pushing away the right man while we're running after Mr. Wrong. Stop pushing away Mr. Right while you run after Mr. Wrong. Who am I talking to? Amen. We got to get to the point where when he comes that we have dealt with our issues. We have to get to the point where when he comes, we have dealt with our issues. You have dealt with your issues of low self-esteem. You have to deal with your trust issues. You have to deal with your issues of looking for love in all the wrong places. You have to deal with your issues of not feeling like you're worthy of the love of a good man. You have to deal with your issues of allowing people to abuse you and misuse you. You have to deal with that issue of being a booty call. You have to deal with that issue of allowing yourself to be taken advantage of by the wrong people. You have to deal with that issue. You got to deal with those issues, hallelujah, of anger. You have to deal with the issue of unforgiveness because of what happened to you when you were a child. I told you I was molested as a child. I was molested as a child by somebody that I trusted. That's why I had trust issues. And that person taught me to equate love with sex. So I spent a lot of time giving sex up to men who were not worthy of having sex with me. But maybe they were worthy because I wasn't even treating myself like I was worthy. My God, my God. So I spent a lot of time sleeping with the wrong people. Every 2 years I traded in my man because I didn't want the man to know who I really was. I wore a mask in my relationships. Come on, somebody. I wore a mask in my relationships. Hallelujah. Because I didn't want him to see me for who I really was. And I hid myself behind my sexuality. I made the sex good. Oh my God. Hallelujah. So that he wouldn't know who I really was, how much I was hurting, how scared I was, how insignificant I felt, how unworthy I felt. I know I'm talking to somebody on today. And I hid behind that mask, and I allowed myself to be in relationships with the wrong men. And when the right men came along, I pushed them away. I told you, when my husband came, I said, no, he is a square. I'll chew him up. I'll eat him for breakfast. I'll eat him for dinner. I'll chew him up, and I'll spit out the bones. I will tear him up. I'll tear him down. And for the first 7 years, about 9 years of our relationship, 2 years of our relationship, 7 years of our marriage, that's exactly what I did. I mistreated that man. I treated him badly. I tried to push him away. I tried to make him walk away. I told him, get out. Get out, and don't you ever come back. I don't need you. I pushed him away from me, but he would not go, and I thank God he didn't leave. I thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God that he didn't leave. Don't make the mistake I made. Get yourself together. Get yourself together. Deal with your issues. Let God heal you. I wrote the book, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living. That's one book, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living. Read that book. I wrote Nobody's Business. Those two books are healing. There's healing in those pages. Read the book, amen. Allow God to heal you. Allow God to heal you, amen. Heal you from the pain in your past. You are worthy. The molestation, the rape, the abandonment. My father abandoned me. It was not your fault. The rape was not your fault. The molestation was not your fault. The fact that your mother and father were alcoholics was not your fault. The fact that your father beat your mother, it was not your fault. The fact that you were abused, that you were beaten mercilessly was not your fault. It was not your fault. You were a victim. The fact that they wanted to abort you was not your fault. The fact that you were born out of wedlock was not your fault. The fact that your first husband cheated on you, that you were left at the altar, that you were battered, it was not your fault. You were a victim. But you do not have to stay a victim. You heard me? Did you hear me? You are, and I know I'm recording. I'm talking to blogs. I'm talking to Building Faith, Building You. I'm talking to those listening to the archive. You were a victim. But you do not have to live the rest of your life as a victim. Amen. God wants to heal you. Read those books. Read Making Marriage and Relationships Work. Let God heal you. Let God deliver you so that you could be ready, like Naomi was ready. When Boaz found Naomi, Naomi was ready. Get you a roof. Let me be your roof. Get you a roof. I mean, I'm sorry, Ruth was ready. When Naomi found Ruth, when Boaz, come on, I get high off the Holy Ghost. When Boaz found Ruth, Ruth was ready. Ruth had her a Naomi. Get you a Naomi. Get you a Naomi. Let me be your Naomi. Let me speak into your life. Let me push you, amen. Let me prod you, amen, to move forward, to get ready, to get healed, to get delivered. Be like the woman with the issue of blood. Press it. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. I was like that woman. When I found out about Jesus, that's why you can't play with me when it comes to Jesus. When I found out about Jesus and that he was healing people, oh, come on, building you. Come on. When I found out that Jesus was healing people, I said, let me get to the hem of his garment. I got the press, because I know I'll be made whole. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. And I got it, I pressed it, and I touched the hem of his garment, and virtue came out and released the power of the Holy Ghost into me and healed me. And I've been set free by the power of the Holy Ghost. And God is still healing through the touch of the hem of his garment. So building you says, heal me. Heal me and deliver me, Lord, in Jesus' name. So, Father, I pray for building you right now. I thank you for bringing her this far by faith. I thank you for what you're doing in her life. I thank you for delivering her. I thank you for healing her, God. I bind up every demonic spirit on assignment against her life. I declare and decree breakthrough over her life and over the life of every woman right now in the name of Jesus that has been impacted by low self-esteem, by molestation, by abuse, by all of the issue that will hinder us and stop us from moving into the fullness of what you have ordained for us in this life, on this earth realm, oh God. So I speak liberty, I speak freedom, I speak breakthrough over her life right now in the name of Jesus. I break every chain. I declare that every chain is broken. I declare that every demonic influence is broken. I declare that every generational curse is broken. I declare that every spiritual attachment is broken. I declare that every soul tie is broken off of her life and off of every life under the sound of my voice right now in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, God. Break it off in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. My God, I felt the chains breaking. I felt the chains breaking in the name of Jesus. Freedom and deliverance. My God, the light, the glory of the Lord is on this broadcast. The light is shining. My God, God is breaking up the darkness. He's breaking every chain in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for what you're doing in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, 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 amen. So we thank God for what he's doing. Amen on this broadcast. I went and checked in with Blog Talk Radio, and we just thank God for all of those who are here on Blab tonight. Listen, God wants to do a new thing. God wants, I felt the glory of the Lord hit this place. God is doing a new thing. All the old things have passed away. When you stepped into life with Jesus Christ, all of those old things were passed away. That's why the devil can't mess with you. My God, the devil couldn't kill you. I tell people all the time, the devil should have killed me when he had a chance. The devil knows there's too much anointing on my life for the devil to try to mess with me. There's too much anointing on your life building you for the devil to try to mess with you. He should have gotten you when he had a chance. He should have killed you when he had a chance. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's Apostle. Amen. God bless you, Apostle. I just recognize who was with me. Amen. The devil should have killed you when he had a chance. God bless you, Freeman. God bless you and welcome. Amen. He should have killed you when he had a chance. Amen. But you have to walk boldly in this thing. Amen. I'm walking boldly in this thing. Amen. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There is a name There is a name which demons have to flee at the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So your relationship can work. Your relationship can work. But deal with your issue. Deal with your issue so you can get ready. Apostle Dana, God bless you. I just realized who you were. Deal with your issues so you can be ready when your Boaz comes, when that man, when your husband comes. Don't let this thing hinder you. Don't let your issues make you push away the man of your dreams, the woman of your dreams. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to be dealing with relationships. We're, again, I'm on Periscope. I'm on Blog Talk Radio, amen. And we're going to continue to deal with relationships. Apostle, come on in. The seat is open. The seat is open. We have about 14 more minutes, and you can come in and take a seat. Take a seat, amen, and let your voice be heard on this issue. And anybody who wants a seat is open as we continue with this last 14 minutes. God wants to do a new thing in your relationship. And again, I told people earlier, it's about God getting the glory in every single area of your life and you having the victory in every single area of your life, in your body, in your health, in your relationships. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be defeated in anything that you put your hand to, anything that you aspire to do, any part of your life. We are dropping the pounds. I'm writing the book. As I drop these pounds, as I continue to move through a victory, I'm writing. God keeps giving me books. He keeps giving me books. I keep writing down the titles. And you know what God told me? He said, don't keep writing the titles. I need you to write the books. I told God, I've only written six books. I've written and published six books. And I know I'm supposed to write 100. I'm supposed to write 100 books. I'm supposed to write some more relationship books. I'm supposed to write some books on health and wellness. I'm supposed to write some prophetic books. I'm writing healing books and some more novels. And I know I'm supposed to write 100 books before I leave this earth. And God keeps giving me titles, And I began to get overwhelmed. And God says, the reason you're overwhelmed is because you're not doing anything. You're just writing the titles, but you got to write the book. So I'm here to challenge you to do it. Don't just think about it, but do what God calls you to do. Do everything that God calls you to do. Be successful in your relationships. Don't say, oh, I'm going to make some positive changes. I'm going to deal with my issues so that I can have successful relationships. No, you need to do it. Don't just say it. You need to do it. Amen. Make the change. Deal with your issues. Deal with the anger. Deal with the low self-esteem. Let God heal you. Deal with the weight issues. Deal with the that way that you always lose your temper. Deal with that emotional problem that you have so that God can give you success in all that you aspire to, especially your relationship. Amen. So some more problems. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Apostle Dana New is joining me. God bless you. God bless you, Apostle. I see you. I see you. Amen. There you are. Praise God. I don't hear you yet.
Amen. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you loud and clear. Welcome.
God bless you. This is fun.
Yeah, I love Blab, and I'm so glad that I got some company. I'm normally up here by myself, but thanks for joining me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so even as we, I need your input. I saw you on the sidelines. I thank you for holding it down with me on the sidelines. Thank you for being here with me and helping me, even when the people begin to come in. And because sometimes I'm talking and I can't read the sidelines, and you were right in there. You were in there. So yes. What do you have to share?
You know, it's funny. I usually, I come here, especially on your Periscope and now on your Blab, to really just be a support. You know, that's what we do, is be a support.
Yes.
And for me, as I'm listening to you, just in the last minute, it's like, okay, I know this was for me. You're
yeah.
talking about relationships. You're talking about being in godly relationships. And I've been thinking for the past couple of days, I know God showed me who my future king is supposed to be.
Wow.
And what he's going to come with. And the past couple of days, I've been like, Lord, I'm ready, but I'm not ready. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, my divorce is recently final, even though the covenant had been broken for many years.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, okay, I'm ready. I want to do this. I'm excited. And it's like, no, you're not.
Wow.
A lot is you're talking about getting rid of some of those inhibitions, of some of those old things we used to have, some of those hang-ups. What it comes down to is that we need to be delivered. I need to be delivered from some things that I think are gone, but they're only gone off the surface, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
And that's not a good thing. When you're ready to be married with the one that God has, there's still a lot of do that needs to be chiseled away. And even though being in ministry the way that I am, there are still some things that need to be refined.
Yeah.
And the Lord takes me back to Isaiah where he talks about refining the surface of affliction, the furnace of affliction. And it's just like, you know what? How much more refining I'm going to be? But it's God, you know? And that's what we have to do. And I'm so glad that I taught this class because every time, there's always something that you need, and it may not be the whole session, but it's something that God wants to reach out and wants us to grab, and I think that part was for me.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that you're obedient to that, and I can't wait for your next book that'll come out for relationships.
Amen. Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. And you made a great point that there's always more. You know, we should always, no matter, and you know this because you're also a coach, we should always be at the point where somebody can still teach us something. You know, and that's what I do. No matter what, I try to. I don't always hit it, but I try to remain teachable. Because I know that I don't know everything. You know, somebody else has something that I need. So even though I don't have a lot of time to go different places, and I was sitting on the couch today and I was like, Lord, I have so much to do. You know, and it's like, where do you find the time to do everything that God has for you to do? But I realized that God's talking to me about time management, and that's where I need somebody like you, like a coach, to help me to redeem my time, you know, to know, like, okay, what are you doing now? Do you have a goal? Do you have your goals laid out for the day? Do you have a to-do list? So there's always something. Like, for me, it's relationships. For you, you can tell me how to begin to meet some of the other goals that I have in my life. You know what I'm saying? There's always something that we can glean. Iron sharp as iron.
Yes.
Yes.
That's it, right there.
Yes, yes.
That is
yes.
And it's funny you said something about time. I had done so much in the past couple of months for my children that I had planned on giving them Christmas gifts. But I was at the store the Christmas Eve. I was at the store. And I said, you know what? I'm going to give the men something.
Yeah.
And I did, the boys, my two sons and my daughter's, her plan, her boyfriend, basically. So I gave them watches.
Wow.
And I'm like, why? I don't, you know, they don't really wear jewelry. I knew a few years ago, the young man wanted a watch, and I was like, give it to him. But because I had the ability to give it to him, I did. And as I was packing it in the bag, God was saying to me, this has to do with something in the future. This is why you got
Wow.
And I'm thinking, why just for the boys? I can't get the girls. The watches too, but it was something else that they eat.
Yeah.
So that was fine. And it just comes down to understanding, like you said, being able to learn, because even the capacity that we are in, especially ministry wise, doesn't mean that we're at the end of our rope.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that we're at the end of our learning curve. there's always something else. So it's funny that you said that about time, because God is allowing us more time to realize where we need to buffer over some things. Time management has a lot to do with relationships too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the time, that's so prophetic that you came in with the piece on time. And we talked about redeeming the time. I hear God say, I'm redeeming the time. You know, that time is not running out. And somebody needs to hear that today, because I just sense that somebody feels like time is running out, and that God is not going to do what he said he would do in a timely manner. And God is saying that there is a set time. And also I hear God saying that there's a time that you, my God, are in a season. And this is for you, Apostle. I'm hearing God saying that you are in a season of preparation, and that God has you. He's getting you ready. I sense that there's an Esther anointing on your life, and that God is getting you ready. There's a soaking, that she soaked, that there was a year where the Lord took her and he prepared her in the essential oil, and that God is preparing you in the oil of his anointing during this season. And he's anointing you for marriage. He's anointing you for your relationship, for your husband. And when he comes, you're going to come off as a sweet smelling aroma. I hear this. I want to say this. Your husband is going to smell you before he sees you. And this is in the spirit realm. I'm not talking about perfumes in the natural realm, but God says he's going to smell you before he sees you. Amen. Because you're coming off as a sweet-smelling aroma, the preparation that God, the season of preparation that God has you in. And there's a set time. Hallelujah. You're not running out of time, but you're right on time. You're right on time. You're right on time, says the Lord. So you continue to prepare and allow and submit. I see you in a submitted. I see you in a season of submission.
Yes, Lord God.
A season of submission. That submission goes with the preparation. As God is preparing you, you have submitted yourself to his will. And I hear you say, I hear you saying, not my will, Lord, but let your will be done this time.
Yes.
This time. Yes. Amen. Let your will be done, God. I'm submitting to your will. And God is honoring that submission. Amen. And glory, I just heard a timer go off.
Hallelujah.
You know, the ding, the bell, I just heard a timer go off. Amen. So get ready. And it's the first timer. There are two timers with God. There's the first timer with God, where we set the temperature, and the timer goes off to let you know that the oven has reached the temperature. And then there's the second timer that goes off to let you know that it's ready, that what you have put in the oven is ready. So I heard the first timer go off, amen, that you have reached the temperature in the spirit realm that God has wanted you to reach, amen. So get ready. I don't know, I didn't mean to say any of that, amen, but I obey God. You know enough about me enough now to know that I obey God. And I just say stuff with the intentions of sounding silly or even missing it. But I'm just picking that up in the spirit realm, prophetically. I'm not a psychic, for those who are listening, because there's some psychics over here, also on Blab, amen. And there's some prophets who are hanging out with psychics, and I don't do any of that either. I don't believe in any of that mixing. But I do believe in speaking when I believe I'm hearing God speak. Amen. So I want to just give you that word. And because of your obedience, God has released that word to you. And also, the last thing I want to release to you is that there's an overflow coming.
Amen.
There's an overflow coming. God says your obedience is releasing an overflow in your life. I see it's like a waterfall. But you know how waterfalls hit the stream and then it overflows off the side? That's what's going on in the spirit realm for you. Amen. So get ready. You're getting ready to walk in. This is a good year. You're already in your new year. You have told me that you're already in your new year. So this year is getting ready to be a great year for you as far as everything, relationships, ministry, entrepreneur endeavors, everything, family matters. It's going to be a stellar year for you. And God says, write that down. Write it down, because it shall surely come to pass. Amen. Amen. Well, amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if you have any closing remarks. We've been recording, so this is also recorded. We're going to close out. If anybody else, there's another chair, and I have our time is up here, amen, but if you want to jump in real quickly, you can jump in real quickly to the chair. But Apostle, thank you so much for coming, amen. And do you have any remarks, closing remarks?
The only closing remarks I have is that the Lord restored and resisted to have poured out here on today, even before I got on, desires of your heart, but not only the desires of your heart, but you want to commit if you're ready to begin 2016. Your 2016 will be blessed.
Jesus.
Your 2015 has given up 2015 that you see the desires of your heart and your needs.
Yes.
And I thank you so much for being obedient to what he has told you to do and why. A lot of people don't understand that there's a why. So I thank you so much. You know, we always talk about obedience better than sacrifice, but some people don't even realize that's what the word says.
Yeah.
But also that you have to have a sacrificial heart to be obedient.
Wow.
To know what that obedience is. So I thank you.
My God. Well, I'm done. Just stick a timer in me. Amen. Well, God bless you, everybody. We only come for an hour every single Monday from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time. We'll be back. I'll be back. Praying for me, building you will be back with me next week. And we'll be talking about relationships, all different aspects of relationships on next week. God bless you. Go in peace and serve our God. Amen. And may all of your relationships be prosperous. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I think I stopped it. Yes. God bless you, everybody. Thanks for joining. I'll see you next time, next week. God bless you. Thanks for the props. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. For those of you still on Blog Talk Radio, amen. God bless you. I did check in, and I didn't see anybody there, so you must have gotten cut off temporarily. The phone lines are open just before I go off the air. If anybody has a comment or a question, you can still ask on Blog, because we are still live on Blog. Amen. Amen. Well, nobody has a question or anything, so we're going to go off the air. God bless you, daughter. I see you out there, daughter Lori Davis. God bless you. Amen. I pray you enjoyed the broadcast on today, and we'll see you next week. Everybody, join me next week right here on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to play a song. Amen, a heart that forgives. God bless you. Amen.
I want a heart that forgives, a heart full of love, one with compassion just like yours above, one that overcomes evil, goodness and love. Like it never happened, never holding a grudge. Want a heart that forgives, lives and lets live. One that keeps loving over and over again. one that men can offend, because your word is thin, one that loves without price, like you, Lord Jesus Christ, one a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies, one a love like you, be like you, just like you. I want a heart that forgives. Want a heart that forgives when the ones that are closest, that I've known the longest, hurt me the most. I still want to love them just like you love me, even though I'm hurt.
I don't want it.